Well, welcome back to the Church Depot. We are now in our sixth sermon of the series, and we are looking at tools for the Christian life. We have looked at having confidence in God's brand. We have looked at all important owner's manual, the Bible. And we've looked at some power tools, including the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of worship. Today, we're going to take a look at fasteners. Now, whether you are building a car, a home, a chair, a computer, or even a cell phone, fasteners are very important. Fasteners of all kinds hold our world together. And I'm sure sitting in those pews, you are glad that somebody used some very good fasteners putting them together. Your clothes, thank goodness, are held together by stitches and zippers and buttons. Your house, your furniture, and even this building is held together by nails and mortar and screws. Your cars are a complex mix of parts joined together in various ways to include welds, rivets, solder, and glue. And when you join two things together, its function, its strength, and its dependability is only as good as its fasteners. And just think about our own bodies. And Chris will tell you the importance of ligaments and tendons in her hip replacement. We are all held together by a lot of fasteners. We call them joints, ligaments, tendons, muscles, tissue, and cartilage. And our function and our strength and our dependability is only as good as the stuff that holds us together. And as some of you mentioned to me this morning, getting older, that changes and becomes more challenging. And in our scripture reading, Paul put it like this: instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Paul here is talking about the church, the body of Christ. And our unity starts with Christ and is built on love. So the first thing that brings us together in unity, the fastener that keeps all things together, is our faith in Christ. For he writes, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. That is what we all have in common. Jesus is the glue that keeps us together. Jesus is the glue that keeps all kinds of relationships together. As Christians, we have one Spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And this should bring us together in unity. The Bible tells us that our faith makes us equals. It removes all of the divisions among us. For Paul also wrote that there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. When we become one, when we work closely together, we can accomplish great things in the name of the Lord. And in order for us to have unity, we need fasteners. We need things that bring us together and hold us together. And the next fastener we need is love for one another. Our love for one another is a defining characteristic of being His disciple. Jesus said this in John 13, A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So the answer is yes, we have to love each other. And for some people, that may be harder than others. And we're not just to love from a distance. We are to fellowship with each other. We have to get together. We need fellowship at our church and in our homes. From Acts chapter 2, it says, they devoted themselves to fellowship. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. And we know that the Lord added to their numbers daily. It's one of the reasons we brought back our community dinner. We need to be together. We need to fellowship. We need to love each other. Meeting together for fellowship was so important that the writer of Hebrews wrote this. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Fellowship is such an important fastener. Because it's hard to love people you don't know. But when you get past all of our individual quirks, when you get close enough to know someone's genuine faith, genuine love, and genuine spirit, it only makes you love them more. And there are three great ways that we can spend time together. And these three fasteners kind of go together. They are fellowship, worship, four of them. Fellowship, worship, prayer, and the study of God's Word. And just a slide ago, I paraphrased Acts chapter 2, leaving out some important parts. But it says in detail, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Just like that thing on Wednesday night I keep sending emails about. Dedicated to prayer together. Do you know how powerful that is? And it says, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. Do you know what this church can do? Do you know what we're capable of? Many amazing wonders and signs that God is willing to do when we pull together and do the things that we've been commanded. Verse 44 says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. And every day they continued to meet together in temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. The love and the unity of the early church came from sharing God's word, came from sharing in communion, came from fellowship, came from worship. And Paul writes it so nicely in this verse. He says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. That, folks, is a picture of what we are supposed to be. We're supposed to be jolly. We're supposed to be happy. We're supposed to be praising God. But at times, we also need to pull each other off to the side and say, hey, you need to get this together. We're called to work together, teaching one another, growing closer to each other, perfecting ourselves and each other. And this is accomplished through God's holy word and through genuine worship. And as we talked about last week, worship is powerful. God's word is powerful. And when we get together regularly and devote ourselves to gathering and worshiping and praying, not just showing up, Not just showing up, because some of you just show up. But when we come together to really worship, to genuinely pray, then we become closer. We become stronger. And these fasteners create even greater unity. And this next fastener is one of the last ones I want to touch on today. And that is encouragement. We have to be positive. There is nothing more discouraging than seeing Christians attacking Christians. And if you've ever gotten together with a group of pastors, they're kind of discouraging, I'll tell you that. They're a bunch of griping, whining, complaining people. But there's a lot of church politics, church gossips. I know of Christians that won't forgive each other. They're holding on to things from 20 or 30 years ago. They won't forgive each other. What kind of witness is that? How are we as Christians supposed to win over the world for Christ if we harbor negativity? We need to be positive and encouraging people. 1 Thessalonians 5 says this, "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." Hebrews 10 says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds." Colossians 2 says, "My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love." Philippians 2 says, "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united in Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind." And how about this? Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Don't we like to do that? It's all about me. It's about what I want. It's about what I need. It's about my time. He says, don't do that. It's not about you. He says, rather in humility, value others above yourselves. Tell me this won't solve some conflicts. Value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. Wouldn't that settle some arguments right away? Because 9 times out of 10, if you're having an argument about something, it's because I want and you want don't meet. It says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. That we have the same mindset as Jesus. And what was Jesus willing to do? Anything and everything. Willing to give His life. Willing to take abuse and scorn to help the most needy. And when we think and love like Jesus, it'll draw us together. And the last fastener of encouraging one another brings us back to the first one. The most important thing that brings us together is Jesus. When Jesus is the common denominator in your relationships, they will be healthier and stronger relationships. Because I can honestly tell you today that if Carla and I did not have that common denominator of our faith and Jesus Christ, we would be among the statistics of the divorced. But in our darkest and toughest times, it was Jesus that held us together. And not just moments of conflict, but in our darkest times of sadness, of facing cancer, of facing this, or facing that, or being deployed. It was our faith in Jesus Christ that kept us in union. And it is faith in Jesus Christ that continues to lead us and guide us in every day. But it's not just between married couples, between children and parents. Having that common denominator of faith will save your relationships, will strengthen your relationships. Between any people, having that common bond will bring you together, because when both of you say, we need to have the mindset of Jesus, you take me out of the equation. And things happen before the good and the glory of God, and not the good and the glory of us. See, if we are to make disciples of the world, then we better be fastened together and going in one direction, guided by Christ. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to draw us together and move us in the same direction. Because when we are going in the same direction, we will see God's mighty hand at work. When we surrender and say, God, wherever you lead us, whatever mission you call us to, whatever we do, you're in control, you've got this, and we're together, God will do amazing things. Because God is good. And all the time,
God is good.
Wasn't that fun? Isn't it fun to get together and smile and laugh and love? What if we took what we have here, which is good and glorious, and took a serving of that out into the world? Why are you happy today? Because of Jesus Christ. Maybe a Super Bowl victory. Right? But what is the real joy? Jesus Christ. If we went out with that kind of joy, think about how infectious it is. I don't know what news channel you watch, but every second of every moment of every news story is the Bengals are going to the Super Bowl, and by the way, something's going on in Ukraine, and the Bengals are going to the Super Bowl. Right? Is it not infectious? Do you not see people down in the streets and wearing their black and their orange and they're celebrating? See what joy can do to people? Yet we have the greatest reason for joy in the world. A relationship with the Creator of the universe. Thank God who created people. We're watching some of the Olympics, and these people are going off ski ramps 50 feet up in the air and twisting five times and coming down. Wow. God's creation is amazing. Way more amazing than this creation, because I can't do that. But when we see how God has gifted each of us differently, how God made us wonderful. God made us to be a people of praise and relationship. And that's why people aren't in church anymore, because it's no longer about praise and relationship. So many churches have become bitter and angry and gossipy and complaining. And who wants to go on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock in the morning and just hear people go, rah, 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 rah. I don't want to do that. But what we have here is great. What we have here is wonderful, and we need to go tell people this is where you want to be. Sunday mornings are a happy place. And no matter what chaos is going on in your life, no matter what the devil brings you, no matter what troubles you're having, no matter how bad you feel, when you come here, you're guaranteed to leave feeling better. Because the Holy Spirit is amazing. And our love for each other is amazing. And we have one incredible God. Let us carry that spirit with us everywhere we go. Not because some team can catch a football better than another team, but because we have a God who desires a relationship with us, not just in this life, but for eternity. Let us go now and share the good and gracious news of the fellowship of God's people. Go now in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of His Holy Spirit. Amen.